If you have your Bibles this morning, we'd like to turn to Psalm 78. Psalm 78. Doing some reading this week, and the Lord began to impress this upon my heart, and there's no way that I'll be able to finish this message this morning unless you all allow me to preach until about 2 o'clock. Amen. So we won't even attempt to do that. And to be honest with you, maybe not as much preaching this morning, but as much maybe it is just Bible study 101 this morning. Amen. You would stand with us. We want to read quite a few verses in this chapter as it lays out a history that we need to draw from this morning. He says, "Give ear, O my people, to my law. Incline your ears to the words of my mouth. I will open my mouth in a parable. I will utter dark sayings of old, which we have heard and known and our fathers have told us. We will not hide them from their children, showing to the generation to come the praises of the Lord and His strength and His wonderful works that He hath done. For He established a testimony in Jacob and appointed a law in Israel, which He commanded our fathers that they should make them known to their children, that the generation to come might know them, even the children which should be born, who should arise and declare them to their children, that they might set their hope in God and not forget the works of God, but keep His commandments, and might not be as their fathers, a stubborn and rebellious generation, a generation that set not their heart aright and whose spirit was not steadfast with God. The children of Ephraim, being armed and carrying bows, turned back in the day of battle. They kept not the covenant of God and refused to walk in His law and forgot His works and His wonders that He had showed them. Marvelous things did He in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt, in the field of Zoan. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through, and He made the waters to stand as an heap. In the daytime also He led them with a cloud and all the night with a light of fire. He clave the rocks in the wilderness and gave them drink as out of the great depths. He brought streams also out of the rock and caused waters to run down like rivers. And they sinned yet more against Him by provoking the Most High in the wilderness. And they tempted God in their heart by asking meat for their lust. Yea, they spake against God. They said, Can God furnish a table in the wilderness? Behold, He smote the rock, that the waters gushed out and the streams overflowed. Can He give bread also? Can He provide flesh for His people? Therefore the Lord heard this and was wroth. So a fire was kindled against Jacob, and anger also came up against Israel, because they believed not in God and trusted not in His salvation, though He had commanded the clouds from above and opened the doors of heaven, and had rained down manna upon them to eat and had given them of the corn of heaven. Man did eat angels' food. He sent them meat to the full. He caused an east wind to blow in the heaven, and by His power He brought in the south wind. He rained flesh also upon them as dust, and feathered fowl as like as the sand of the sea. And He let it fall in the midst of their camp, round about their habitations, so that it eat and were filled, for He gave them their own desire. They were not estranged from their lust, but while their meat was yet in their mouths, the wrath of God came upon them, and slew the fattest of them, and smote down the chosen men of Israel. For all this they sinned still, and believed not for His wondrous works. Therefore their days did He consume in vanity, and their years in trouble. When He slew them, then they sought Him, and they returned and inquired early after God. And they remembered that God was their rock, and the high God their Redeemer. Nevertheless they did flatter Him with their mouth, and they lied unto Him with their tongues. For their heart was not right with Him, neither were they steadfast in His covenant. But He, being full of compassion, forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. Yea, many a time turned He His anger away and did not stir up all His wrath. For He remembered that they were but flesh, a wind that passeth away and cometh not again. How oft did they provoke Him in the wilderness and grieve Him in the desert? Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel. They remembered not His hand, nor the day when he delivered them from the enemy. We've tried to read verses 1 through 42 this morning. Many other verses we could read, but we'll stop right there. Father, we thank you for the blessings that you've allowed us to have. And I pray, God, you'd touch us today and help us, Lord, in power and demonstration of the Holy Spirit to have the unction from above to preach the gospel this morning. I pray, God, that you would help each one under the sound of our voice to hear, make application to our lives. Help us, God, as we study portions of your word today. For this we ask in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. You may be seated. There is no doubt when we study and look through the Old Testament scriptures that Israel is God's chosen people. There is no doubt to how he has extended grace and favor to these folks. And yet it is written and recorded all over the scripture, and even in this chapter, how they turned from him. He'd bless, they'd receive, and they'd turn away. And then he'd whip them, and they'd fall back on their knees and ask forgiveness, and he'd forgive and bless again, and then they'd turn their back on him again. I want us to see three things quickly by way of introduction. I want us to look again at verse number 12 at what he's done for his people. He's done marvelous things, has he not? Verse 12, marvelous things did he in the sight of their fathers in the land of Egypt. God's done marvelous things for the people of Israel. And friend, I don't have time today to tell you the marvelous things he's done for you. He's been marvelous to you and to I. I want you to see, second of all, in verse 13, his miracles. He divided the sea and caused them to pass through. We remember that the water stood up on a heap and they passed through on dry ground. Is that not correct? That's his miracle power. Friend, you realize he's done miracles for you? You may say, preacher, I don't believe he has. Listen, if he saved you, that's a miracle. It's a permanent miracle. It's one that will not ever change. I'll never forget Brother David Hyde, who came up to the platform and he had cancer, and three different times had called the family in, or maybe five times had called the family in. And he had a place in his body that was as big as a football, and he was going to die. But God brought him through that time and time again. And they called him up on the platform to preach. And as he stood up there, the folks actually stood up and gave a standing ovation to the man of God. And they introduced him as Brother David Hyde, a walking, talking miracle. And he said, I'm not a miracle, because God has touched me and healed me physically these three, four, five times. He said, that's just a temporary miracle. If this cancer doesn't take me, a car wreck will. If I don't get me a heart attack will. Something's going to claim my life one day. He said, the permanent miracle was done when Jesus saved me. And he stood and started clapping. He said, now I clap for y'all that's been saved at the permanent miracle God has done. I'm telling you what, God's done miracles. I mean, even for Summer and Bing this week, I tell you, our hearts were heavy upon learning that news and trying to preach revival. We had a real heavy heart going into revival every night. And we got that phone call on Thursday that, boy, it was gone and things were better. Truly, I said, God still does marvelous things, and God still does miraculous things. Things that are too wonderful for a doctor to even be able to describe. Look with me here again in verse number 14. In the daytime also he led them with a cloud, and all the night with a light of fire. And they said how he smote a rock and caused water to come out of it, and they had water to drink. And he gave them fowls to eat of, and manna. Man ate angels' food. Boy, we might say that God has done much. He's done marvels. He's done miracles, and he's done much. Hey, like Israel, God's done miraculous things for us and marvelous things for us, and he's done much for us. Amen. He's blessed us beyond measure. I thought a lot this week as I was preparing to preach this morning that, boy, I'd like to get up here and tell some story of how good he's been to me and how undeserving I am to get your attention. But there's no reason for me to tell it, because you realize just as well as I do our unworthiness, yet his goodness to us in spite of who we are. Bless his name. But there's something that really grabs me in these verses. Not just how they turned away from him and how I've turned away and done things that were wrong in my own life. But something grabbed me in verse number 41. And I'd like to anchor down there tonight, this morning, and maybe even, Lord willing, tonight. I realize some of you won't be able to be back tonight. But I want to look at verse 41. It says, "Yea, they turned back and tempted God and limited the Holy One of Israel." I wrote down the title for this message, Limiting God. And then I went back and I said, wait a minute, that don't seem quite right. I want to write down, limiting a limitless God. But then God said, strike that. Because He said, I am not limitless. I do have limits. And I said, God, You have limits. He said, there are things I cannot do. There are things that I will not do. And that's a whole other message on the things that God cannot do. But I'm glad they cannot send a saved man to hell. That's just one of the few things He can't do. But what is it that would limit God? The people here, obviously from the Scripture, they turned back and tempted God and they limited Him. Now, He's got all kinds of power. His power, His mercy, His grace, they're limitless, right? But they limited Him. I want us to think on this morning on, and maybe again tonight on, limiting God. I really got on my knees this week about this. And I got troubled for Bethel Missionary Baptist Church and its fine visitors today that it could very well be that God wants to bless you more than you want to be blessed. And there may be something in your life or something that you're doing or part of that would cause God to be limited in His work in your life or cause God to be limited in His work in this church. I don't want to limit God. Amen. And I hope you don't either. I want to start this morning and preach part A of the message on what is not limited in God. What is not limited in God? I want to say number one, God is not limited in His attributes. I don't care how you act. I don't care if you don't believe Him, if you get the pooch lip and you pout till you're blue in the face and you don't never come back to church again. You will not limit God in His attributes. Just a few of His attributes. You cannot limit His grace. You cannot limit His mercy. You cannot limit His long-suffering. Look back there with me in verse number 38. The Bible says, He being full of compassion forgave their iniquity and destroyed them not. In other words, He was long-suffering with them. I'm glad God's long-suffering. You can be as wicked and turn your back on Him and even backslide. But the attributes of God are that He is a long-suffering God. For Him to do anything different would be to break His character. And God cannot break His own character. But I want to stop there and say not only has He got grace and mercy and forgiveness, long-suffering, but He's got forgiveness, right? We just read that. But I want us to think for just a second about His omnipresence. You cannot limit the omnipresence of God. What does that mean, preacher? That means that God is everywhere. We're going to read a few verses this morning. In Proverbs chapter 15, I told you this is going to be Bible study 101. In Proverbs chapter 15, verse number 3, we see the omnipresence of God. He will not be limited by your unbelief, or by your pouting, or by the devil's protest in His omnipresence. Proverbs 15, verse number 3 says, "The eyes of the Lord are in every place, beholding the evil and the good." You realize today that God sees each and everything that you and I do. He knows about every secret conversation. He knows what you think about me. What you really think about me. Not what you say. And He sees all that stuff. I tell my daughter all the time, you know, when you go to school, I can't see you, but God is watching. You may think, well, I'll go and I'll go and cuss. And I'll do whatever I want to do. Mom and Daddy won't find out. Let me tell you something, you young people. I'm going to challenge you. Communicate on a higher plane than profanity. You know, it don't take but about a third or a fourth grader to cuss every other step he makes. Big deal. Use some words that got sense to them rather than go around cussing. And for some of you adults, it do you good as well to get over the profanity that comes out of your mouth the first time things don't go good in your life. That's not in my notes. I'm just trying to tell you that God's present everywhere, and there's nowhere you'll get away from Him. You'll not slip off and have a secret cuss fit and God not know about it. He sees it all. He is everywhere. He is here today. Amen. In Jeremiah chapter 23, we're idling here. We're just studying a little. Jeremiah 23, verse number 24. Well, I'll slip off and I'll smoke me some of that wacky weed. Mom and Daddy won't find out about it. Let me tell you what, God's watching. You ain't got away with any of it. He knows exactly where you smoked it, when you smoked it, who you's with. Well, me and my girlfriend will slip off in the back seat of the car. You're not going to a place God don't see it. Your mama may not know, your daddy may not know, your preacher may not know, but God told me to tell you He knows all about it. Amen. And you know it wasn't right for you to do it or to be in that position. Amen. Amen. Jeremiah 23, verse number 24. Let's read verse 23 as well. Am I a God at hand, saith the Lord, and not a God afar off? Can any hide himself in secret places that I shall not see him, saith the Lord? Do not I feel heaven and earth, saith the Lord? Hey, God is everywhere. David said in Psalm 139, turn there with me. You ought to mark this one in your Bible. I mean, he thought he had got away with his affair with Bathsheba. He thought nobody would know, but God was watching that night. God watched his lust. God watched their sin. He knew just exactly what. Turned his head away from it, no doubt, but he knew what they'd done. In Psalm 139, verse number 8, let's read verse 7. Whither shall I go from thy spirit? Whither shall I flee from thy presence? If I ascend up into heaven, thou art there. If I make my bed in hell, thou art there. If I take the wings of the morning and dwell in the uttermost parts of the sea. You get the gist? We can read it all. God knows about it. You may think you have the preacher and the deacons fooled in this church. You've got your Sunday school teacher fooled. They think you're such a wonderful person. And you hear people brag on you that, oh, so and so, boy, they're really a good person. They're good people. But in your heart of hearts, you knew when they said it, you'd just had a cuss fit. You knew that you'd done acted the wrong way and went off gossiping and tearing people down. Friend, you didn't get away with anything. That sin God's going to judge if you don't get it under the shed blood of Calvary. Amen. God is omnipresent. I don't care how you act, He is everywhere. I want to say this morning, He is omnipotent. That means He is all powerful. I don't care how you act, God is all powerful. Over here in Psalms, while we're here close, about number 62. Verse number 11. Psalm 62, verse number 11. I believe this morning that the devil has power. More power than I probably have. He could defeat me like that. I realize that North Korea, they think they have nuclear power. And they're exploding these bombs and doing all this stuff. They think they've got power. Let me tell you something, friend. You could take all the armies in the world and put them together. And all they know about atoms and splitting them and causing nuclear reactions, but they wouldn't have enough strength to muster just the hem of the garment of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. I want to say to you this morning that in Psalm 62, verse 11, God has spoken once, twice have I heard this, that power belongeth unto God. You'd do nothing. You'd have no strength if it weren't for God. All power belongs to God. Jesus said in Matthew 28, 18, that all power is given unto me. Is that not what he said? He said in John chapter number 10, he said, I lay my life down and that I've got the power to be raised back up again. He said, no man takes my life from me. I lay it down freely. I lay it down because I love my Father. I lay it down to do His will. I lay it down because I have power to. And I raise it up again because I have power to be raised again on the third day. He is an all-powerful God this morning. The Bible says in Luke 1:37 that the things that are impossible with man are possible with God. In other words, He's saying, for with God, nothing shall be impossible. I don't care how big you pout and how mad you get at the message this morning or how dry you may feel this morning. You cannot limit the power of God. He is omnipotent. And His attributes are limitless this morning. Not only is He omnipresent, not only is He omnipotent, but He is omniscient. In Psalm 147, verse number 5, teaching us that He is an all-knowing God. He knows it all. He knew it before you ever said it. He knows what's in your heart. He knows how you think. He knew what your decision's going to be about Calvary. He knows how what you're going to eat for lunch, if you're even going to get to eat lunch. God knew it all before the beginning of time. Before Timex ever started ticking. God was, God is, and God will be when Timex ends. Amen. In Psalm 147, verse number 5. Great is our Lord, and of great power. His understanding is infinite. That means that you cannot measure how all-knowing that He is. Turn over here to the New Testament. 1 John chapter 3. Verse number 20. Understand, God being always present, God being all-powerful, you realize being all-powerful, there's nothing too hard for Him. There's nothing too big for Him to solve. And there's nothing too little for Him to use. You may feel like God can't use you. I'm going to tell you, He can. And Him being omniscient, what's this? Verse number 20. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. You may think, well, I'm pretty smart. Mankind's pretty smart. We put a man on the moon. We build a microwave oven. We're able to get a car that'll do 200 miles an hour on a speedway. And we're able to figure out all these things. And now we're able to clone. And mankind's got pretty smart. Let me tell you what, friend. He still cannot figure out God. God is all-knowing, and mankind, thinking He's arrived, He's ever learning but not able to come to the knowledge of the truth. God knows it all. Let me say this morning, God is limitless in His attributes. Amen? I want to say second of all, God is limitless this morning in His ability. In His ability. You'll never stop His ability. You may get to pooch lip and you may pout and you may throw a cuss fit, and you may say, I ain't never going back. I like what John Washburn said this morning in Sunday school. That was great. He talked this morning in Sunday school class. For those of you that didn't get to hear that, maybe you're in another class, or maybe you didn't come to Sunday school at all. But he said, it's amazing. You'll go to work, and they'll cuss you like a yard dog. You'll get all fuzzed up about it, but you'll be right back tomorrow.
Amen.
But the first person at the church house that didn't shake your hand and smile and show you 8 teeth, you're mad and won't come back. Say amen. I don't care if you didn't like it.
Amen.
That's the truth, Brother John. I appreciate that illustration. That was right. And what Brother Chris said this morning about having 4 or 5 wires there inside the telephone, and if one of them ain't hooked up just right, you'll never hear the message. And I tell you what, there's a lot of things we could do to limit God, but you'll never limit His omnipresence, His omniscience, and His omnipotence, but you won't limit His ability. While you're here in the New Testament, I want to say that God, by ability, I'm saying that He's able. You understand what I'm trying to tell you? God's able. Preacher, I don't want to hear this. I don't care. God's able. In Hebrews chapter 7, verse 25, we just want to study the word able just for a minute. He's able. Hebrews chapter 7, verse number 25. What's this? Wherefore, He is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by Him, seeing He ever liveth to make intercession for them. There's nobody that God cannot save. Jesus died for the sins of the world.
Amen.
that all men might be saved, that no man would perish. He's able today to do that. See, what limits him is that person that won't come to him. I mean, he's able to save you, but the person that won't come to him will never get saved. I mean, listen, he's got enough power to make you, but that's not he wants. That's not what he wants. That's not his will. He gives you a free will to make your own choice. He knows what your choice will be, but he gives you the free will, the free reign to make your own decision. Isn't that amazing? He's a big enough God to make you. Preacher, what do you mean? I don't think he is. Are you serious? You really think God's not big enough to make you? And so I'll never forget the time the preacher was up, he was preaching. He said, it's one thing to humble yourself, and it's another thing for God to humble you. That's exactly right. You don't believe what I'm talking about? You just go ahead and harden your neck. Stiffen up on him. And watch it. When he starts pressing and pulling and making storms and chastisement come in your life, you'll get real willing to go his way then. But he's not going to make you. He wants you to come on your own terms. And he knows what's best. I'm going to say this morning, God's able to save to the uttermost. He's able to save us from the guttermost. I said from the guttermost to the uttermost. What a blessing. Over here in Jude, verse 24. Jude verse 24. Some of you looking at me funny this morning. I can tell it's 12 o'clock. I just looked at them all. I said, they're looking at me funny. It must be 12. Yep, 12 up and down. Jude verse 24. Now unto him that is able to keep you from falling and present you faultless before the presence of his glory with exceeding joy. To the only wise God, our Savior, be glory and majesty, dominion and power, both now and ever. Amen. What's he saying? He's able to keep you. You know what it means to be kept? That means a fixed position, one that is permanent. He said, I can keep you from falling. Over here in John chapter 10, we've alluded one time to John 10, but we need to hit it again. John chapter 10, verse number 28 and verse number 29. Mankind thinks he's so able. Let's find out how able he really is. And let's see how able our God is to keep. In John chapter 10, verse 28, he says, and I give unto them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. My Father, which gave them me, is greater than all, and no man is able to pluck them out of my Father's hand. I and my Father are one. He said, no man's able. The devil's not able. No man's able. But he said, hey, I'm able to keep you. Once I've saved you, I'll keep you. I like that, don't you? Let's read about two more and I'll let you go. Over here in 2 Corinthians chapter 9. I want to say that God is able. He's not limited in his ability. He is able to give to you. He's able to extend grace your direction. He's able to bless you. He's able today. Nobody else like him. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse number 8. And God is able to make all grace abound towards you, that you always having all sufficiency in all good things may abound to every good work. He said, I want to bless you and I'm able to bless you. I am able to take your storm, your pestilence, your disaster. I'm able to take your desert experience and turn it into a blessing. I'm able to take your trials that send you to your knees and bless you with it and lift you above it. Do you believe that today? What about over here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 20? I want to say he's able to do. He's able to do. You can call on him, friend, today. He's not limited for him to be able to do for you. He said in Ephesians 3:20, you could quote this to me. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages without end. Amen. You know what he's saying today? I'm able to do above what you ask. What is today you need? That's what you ask him for. Am I hearing you right? It's what you ask him for what you need. He said, I'm able to do better than that. I'm able to not only do better than what you ask, I'm able to do exceeding abundantly above all you think even. Boy, I can think of a lot. You ever sit down and you have a prayer request or a need and you come to him and you start praying about it and you start thinking about it saying, boy, I think he's going to work it out like this. And he works it out even better than that. He, only God can do that. Amen. And he's able today. I could remind you over there in Daniel chapter 3 verse 7 about how they was getting ready to throw them three, the Hebrew children, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego into the fiery furnace. And what was it they said? Our God's able to deliver us. And whether he will or not, that's the will of God going to be done. But my God's able to deliver. I believe he's able to deliver today, don't you? That's out of Daniel chapter 3, verse 17. What about 2 Timothy chapter 1? 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse number 12. I think he's able to guard us today. He's able to put his arms around us and guard us. What's this? For the which cause I also suffer these things. Nevertheless, I am not ashamed, for I know whom I have believed, and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I have committed unto him against that day. I've committed everything I am. Is in the blood of Jesus Christ now. And I know that he and he alone is able to guard me. He's able to keep my reservation in glory. Ain't that a blessing this morning? Let me close out by saying this. He's able to subdue. Out of Philippians chapter 3 verse 21. He's able to subdue. He's able to fulfill. Oh, I like that. Romans chapter 4 verse 21. Turn there with me. Romans 4 21. Whatever God's promised you, whatever he's told you, if he's told you, I'll save you if you'll trust me, and when you came believing him, he's going to do what he's promised he would do. Watch this, Romans 4:21. And being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Let me steal another page out of Brother Washburn's book. He said this morning, he said, I might make you a promise. I might or might not be able to meet the promise I make. But God is able. You'll not limit his ability to fulfill his promise. Last one, you stand to your feet. We'll see this together. In Matthew chapter number 9, we'll try to conclude this message tonight. And tonight's where it's going to get interesting. And right now we see where he's limitless. But we're going to see how we limit him tonight. In Matthew chapter 9, verse number 28. I believe he's able to heal this morning. We said he's able to save, he's able to keep, he's able to give, he's able to do, he's able to deliver, able to guard, able to subdue, able to fulfill, able to heal. He's able to do much more than that. That's just a few examples. Watch this, Matthew chapter 9, verse 28. And when he was come into the house, the blind men came to him, and Jesus saith unto them, believe ye that I am able to do this? And they said unto him, yea, Lord. Then touched he their eyes, saying, according to your faith, be it unto you. And their eyes were opened. I'm glad this morning our God's not limited. Amen. We have needs in our lives, concerns, circumstances. Boy, it's out of our control. We seem to be at the mercy of the situation so many times. But I'm glad that no matter how I act, God's attributes aren't limited. And his ability is not limited today. You understand where we're going to go tonight? What will limit his ability is whether I believe him or not. Whether I'm willing to accept what he wants to do for me and believe him. Jesus had the ability to heal the blind man. Jesus, here he is, he's full God, full man, right? He has all the attributes of God the Father. I can show them to you. Don't look at me like that. We'll be here a while. He's got all the attributes of God the Father. He's got all the ability of God the Father. Oh, yes, sir. Yes, sir. When the two blind men stand there calling on him, he says, do you believe I'm able to do this? He has ability. What causes ability to move? Was when they said, yea, Lord, their faith. Their faith. Your head bowed, nobody looking on the service this morning. Might be somebody here. Say, preacher, I'm not asking you to come to the altar. I'm just asking you right where you are. Preacher, this morning, Boy, it sure helps me to know that the God I serve is limitless. I know that. I know that He is. And I'm glad He is. But preacher, there's something I need Him to do. There's something I want Him to keep. There's something I'm trusting Him about. And this morning, the old devil's trying to argue with me and come against me that God's not able, that God won't do. I want to just raise my hand this morning and say, Lord, I believe You. I believe You this morning. I need You to do, and I believe You're able. Do you believe He's able? You slip up your hand. You can put it right back down. Anybody else say, boy, I just want to raise my hand and say, I believe He's able. Got a need this morning. I believe He's able. Bless you. Bless you. Bless you and you. Yes, sir. Anybody else? Yes, ma'am. I believe He's able. Lord, this morning, as we bow in Your presence, it's been unusual this morning to be in the house of God. Unusual message that You've laid on our heart. Unusual the way You've had us even stand to preach it. Just studying Scriptures. God, this morning we realize that Your attributes are not limited. No matter how we act, You're everywhere. You know all things. And You're an all-powerful God. And Father, we bow our hearts at Your power and at Your holiness. And yet, God, we realize Your ability is limitless. Oh, You can do anything. Nothing too hard for You. And this morning, God, there are hands literally raised all over this sanctuary that have circumstances and needs in their life. And Lord, they're looking to You, the author and finisher of our faith, to do for us. And Lord, this morning, we believe that You're able. We believe You're the one that will. And I pray, God, You'd help us not to limit, God, what it is You can do in our life. Lord, I ask Your touch to be upon us. For we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. I'm thankful. I do look forward to coming back tonight because I'm interested in just exactly what He's wanting to do with this thing about limiting God. Interesting to me. I don't want to limit Him. Not whatsoever.